Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and chapter 4, verses 1 through 6a. The Reverend James Baumgartner is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
This morning's reading comes from Malachi chapters 3 and 4. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. That day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of his mercy be unto you through God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You may be seated. There's an off-color comedy from about 20 years ago called Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby. Actor Will Ferrell plays a race car driver in the movie, and there's a scene where he and his family are gathered together around the dinner table, and he's praying before they eat, thanking Jesus for the bountiful harvest of Domino's and KFC and Taco Bell set before them. But in his prayer, he keeps directing it to specifically baby Jesus. And finally, his wife cuts into the prayer, and she says, "You know, he grew up, right?" And he says, "All right, look, I like baby Christmas Jesus best. I'm saying grace. When you're saying grace, you can pray to another version." And it all devolves into this discussion on the type of Jesus that each family member prefers, one or the other, until finally he continues his prayer boldly. "Dear 8-pound, 6-ounce newborn infant Jesus, don't even know a word yet, just little infant so cuddly yet still omnipotent." Now, 20-year-old version of James thought that was hilarious. 42-year-old version of myself, I see the chuckle in it, but I see the deeper theological underpinnings in it, right? That each of us has this real tension when we think of Jesus and his story and the various ways that Scripture portrays him as, especially as we go through the church year and we focus on specific moments. The tension between the Almighty King of Kings, whose eyes flash with fire in the book of Revelation, with hair on his head as white as snow, feet like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, a voice that sounds like the rush of many waters, a mouth that speaks forth a sharp two-edged sword, and a face like the shining sun in full strength. That Jesus, in tension with Christmas Jesus, baby Jesus, bouncing in utero on the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, 100% dependent on Mary and Joseph. Newborn cries filling the air, dense with the smell of animals and hay and dirt. There is a tension there, isn't there? And it is good and right and holy and true for the people of God to hold that tension, to relish in the tension and to be blessed by that tension. For 2 millennia, scholars have worked to explain that tension. Theologians in the room might perk up when they hear Latin terms like anus idiomaticum and myostaticum and apotelismaticum, right? All big concepts trying to describe the communication of attributes between the divine nature of Christ and the human nature of Christ. But for us today, let's just be content with the simple tension. Because it's that tension that we encounter in our text in Malachi. Malachi speaks the word of the Lord coming about the coming Messiah, and he holds that tension between the divine nature and the human nature, the exaltation and the humiliation of Christ. He's prophesying during a time in Israel's history when people were kind of getting tired of waiting for the Christ. It's about 500 BC, and sure, people had already come back from exile. The temple had already been rebuilt. Jerusalem, for its most part, had regained its prominence and prosperity and independence. But the covenant blessings of the Lord still felt like they were off in the distance. Where was the Messiah? Where was the anointed one, the king who would sit forever on David's throne, the seed that was going to crush the serpent's head? And as the people waited, they slid back into their old ways. The priesthood became corrupt. Worship became routine. Divorce was widespread. Justice was overlooked. Tithing was forgotten. I mean, that's the book of Malachi in a nutshell. It's all the things that sinful people tend to do when they stop waiting in expectation for the day of the Lord. And so Malachi calls people to repentance as well as places before their eyes the Lord's mercy and the Lord's kindness, law and gospel, punishment and forgiveness. First, he gives us an allusion to John the Baptist, who prepares the way, and then he grounds us and he says, "The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." And when does Christ the Lord suddenly come into his temple? Well, it's a story that we all know that pops up usually the first Sunday after Christmas, 40 days after Jesus is born, and Mary and Joseph take Jesus into the temple suddenly. And old Simeon, he's wandering around the temple. He too had been waiting for the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And suddenly, to use Malachi's word, suddenly the Lord appears in his temple. Christmas Jesus, and Simeon bursts into song. But Malachi shifts immediately. Who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? He will sit as a refiner and a purifier. And in an instant, we imagine the omnipotent and invincible, exalted King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, stepping across that threshold of the temple to deliver justice and execute righteous judgment upon all of his creation. But then in the very next verse, Malachi grounds us again. He says, "The offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord." And suddenly the skies darken and the earth trembles, and the Lord of Lords hangs upon the cross, his life laid down for the sins of all mankind, for he is the offering that is pleasing to God. Nails piercing his hands and feet, thorns pressed in upon his sweat-stained brow, with blood and water flowing freely from his side. And Ephesians 5 cuts through the silence of his death, and it says, "Christ loved us and gave himself for us a fragrant offering, sacrifice to God. A vicarious substitute, an offering pleasing to the Lord, the only offering pleasing to the Lord." And then back again in Malachi, the very next verse, "Christ is victor, conqueror, dispenser of perfect justice. I will be swift witness against all who do not fear me. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. That day that is coming shall set them ablaze. Power and might and righteous judgment and perfect law." But in the very next verse, "For you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Mercy and grace, eternal healing and blessing, because the darkness has cleared and the light has dawned, and Easter has in fact come, and the grave of our Lord sits empty. Resurrection victory has defeated death, and Christ is risen. Alleluia. He has ascended to his Father, and the promise remains that he will come again. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven," 1 Thessalonians 4 says, "with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise." Christmas Jesus, refining Jesus, purifying Jesus, sacrificial Jesus, almighty Jesus, dying Jesus, justice Jesus, Good Friday Jesus, wrathful Jesus, peaceful Jesus, resurrected Jesus, Easter Jesus, eternal King and Lord Jesus. Friends in Christ, the tension is beautiful. The tension is holy. The one who was and who is to come died on a cursed tree outside the city gates for you. The God who is immortal spirit was born into mortality for you. The King of Kings came not to be served, but to serve you. The Almighty suffered under the weakness of humanity. It's like this image behind me, right? That we see every single time we come into this chapel. Christ crucified, overlooked by Christ triumphant. Christ humiliated, within the joys of Christ exalted. And Malachi shows the waiting people of God this Christ who is to come. It's the very same Jesus Christ who you and I wait for to come again. So do not grow tired of waiting. Stand upright and trim your lamps. Stay awake and watch. Repent and believe. Humble yourselves that you may be exalted. Malachi paints the image of the Christ who holds that tension perfectly well. Because when you are weak, you have a Savior who is weak with you. Because when you are hurt, you have a Lord who knows your hurt. Because when you are tired and alone and abandoned and in the darkness, you have a Savior who is forsaken. And when you are scared, you have a King who is victorious. And when you are terrified by death itself, you have a risen and triumphant Lord of Lords. And when you are attacked and abused, you have a God of justice by your side. Even the angels who once sang glory to God in the highest long to look into this mystery of Jesus Christ, the beauty of his incarnation, the awe of the cross and the empty tomb, the resounding power as he sits at the right hand of his Father in heaven. Keep the tension of this Advent and Christmas season. You'll find his glory to be bound with your weakness, his forgiveness bound to your shame, and his victory bound to your failures. For these are Advent days, the days of waiting, the days of promise, the days of longing, and the Lord whom you seek will come suddenly, like a thief in the night, stepping across the threshold of creation to the temple of his church, his own people, who are his very own body and blood. And on that day, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that this Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds until life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.